Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, June 10th, 2016. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. And how are you, Dave?
I'm outstanding. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. It's great to have you here. And Brian Chaffin, it's great that you're here too. How are you?
It feels like deja vu all over again.
Only a little bit, like halfway for me.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is Atlassian, which is pretty awesome. I'll talk about them soon. But before we do that, there is a rumor that I want to talk about. And so this is a report that says that Apple is going to announce iMessage for Android on Monday. So this coming Monday, June 13th, during its Worldwide Developer Conference keynote. And the source of this rumor is Mac Daily News, and it's very vague where they're getting the information. So it's a dubious report, and I don't know if we really will get this news on Monday. But that's kind of beside the point, because what's really interesting out of this for me is the idea that Apple would take messages cross-platform so that iPhone users and Android users could have fully end-to-end encrypted messages or text messages between each other, and doing it all with native Apple tools. And what do you guys think?
I think it's a good thing. One of the problems with iMessage is that I can't use it for everyone.
True. Yes. Yeah. That's one of the problems that I have dealt with. And so I have message or chats going on where some are fully encrypted, some right. not at all, because they're with people that aren't using messages. And then some that are happening in other apps like WhatsApp.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. And actually, I think there's a couple other apps that I'm chatting with people in. And then I have to remember to launch those and make sure that I'm not missing something in a conversation.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brian. Yeah.
Well, first of all, the quality, we should absolutely get out there. The quality of the rumor itself is so on the sketchy side that
tenuous at best.
Yes, our discussion of this is about the merits of Apple doing this, not the merits of the rumor, because the merits of the rumor are slim to none.
Right. So this is, at this point, I consider to be more of an academic conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, why would Apple want to do this? Heretofore, iMessage has been a selling point for iPhone, right? iPhone and then iPad and iPhone and then Mac and iPhone, right?
Mm-hmm.
If Apple could do iMessage on Android and maintain the integrity of the iMessage platform in doing so, the only question would be, is there a competitive advantage for Apple to do this? And I'm not sure that there's one, in that, you know, we can still text message with each other. We can text message already. We can use SMS to text message with Android users just fine.
Mm-hmm.
I can't quite come up with a business case for Apple to do it.
All right, so the case that, or the argument that I have for Apple doing this, would be that Apple is taking a strong stance on privacy, security, and encryption. And one thing they could do to extend that net of privacy, so to speak, would be to take its already secure end-to-end encryption system for messages and offer that for Android devices as well.
Okay, well, that's an interesting idea. So right now, the security, the hole in our security when it comes to text messaging is essentially any Android user we know, or any iPhone user who hasn't actually turned on iMessage or actively turned it off, mm-hmm. as the case may be. And so filling that hole, i.e. bringing Android devices potentially into that mix. Of course, you know, there are some issues there. One of the genius aspects of iMessage in the first place was that Apple took this away from the domain of the carriers.
Right.
SMS was the domain of the carriers, and they charged us for it. They still charge us for it. And Apple basically said, yeah, no, we've got the SMS thing covered, and at the same time, we're just going to quietly yank it away from you so that the carriers really didn't have much to do with it anymore. And can Apple do the same thing on an Android device, or would someone have to actually launch the iMessage app? I mean, in other words, I'm talking about the integration between SMS and iMessage. Could Apple even do the same thing on Android? And I don't think they can. Dave, do you have any thoughts there?
Could they do the same thing on Android? Sure. Just like WhatsApp can do that on iOS.
WhatsApp, I mean, can usurp, so like all my incoming text messages would go through WhatsApp?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant the encryption. No. Yeah. Sorry. I was confused on your point. So yeah, no, they could do the end-to-end encryption on Android. That would be no problem. In getting at their text messages on Android, actually, that might be doable. I think there is an extension for that.
You know, that Android's would be handy.
Android's a whole lot more flexible to a developer than iOS is. And I think there's some... And it's been a little while since I've messed around with that aspect of Android, but I know when I was messing around with it maybe a year ago, there were apps that could sort of take over your SMSing for you. So maybe. I don't want to say for sure, but I don't want to rule it out either. It's not like iOS.
It's hard to imagine a whole lot of Android users, except for like our friends, right? It's hard to imagine a whole lot of Android users all that interested to go to a dedicated Apple app to communicate with Apple users when they could just use their built-in SMS and keep everything all nice and central and tidy.
Yeah, there would need to be, you're right, there needs to be that, I'll call it the killer app, but it's a conceptual thing, not an actual thing, right? There needs to be a killer use case, is a better way to say it, that drives them to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, I can't imagine what that killer use case would be, other than they're Apple fan forced to use Android or something. I mean, you know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
My brother just switched to an iPhone, so there you go. But he's been using Android for a long time. Would he have installed this app there just so that I could have different color bubbles when I text message him?
No.
Probably not. I mean,
he would actually probably uninstall it because he would rather annoy you, but that's another thing.
he's an Apple fan. I mean, he uses Macs all the time, so... But I don't even, I don't think that, there would need to be that killer application, which is better said as killer use case. Yeah.
What if Apple did this as like an API? So Android text messaging apps could incorporate message encryption.
I think Apple's going to want to let that go.
What is there to let? Yeah, I mean, from a technical standpoint, they have published pretty much exactly what they're doing so that people would be very comfortable with the fact that it is truly end-to-end encryption. And even though Apple is handing your messages around, they're only handing, secure blobs of data, not anything. They have no way of getting at it. So, but yeah, the question is, does Apple want to open up an API? I mean, it's already open. It already exists. I don't want to say that it's open. do they want to have third parties pumping data at their API willy-nilly? I mean,
probably not.
I think probably not is the softest answer we could give to that and still be 100% correct.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I mean, I think yeah. it's almost absolutely not. But again, you know, and I realize we're talking about something that's, you know, I'm sure they've worked on it, right? Because they do all kinds of crazy things inside of Apple. But what is that? Like, Apple needs to know what that killer application, that killer use case is too. If they've got something coming where you would, they know that Android users would want to be able to use the iMessage framework and system, and Apple wants that to be used that way, then absolutely they would do that. Yeah. But right. we just don't know what that, there's missing pieces to this puzzle here is the question. Or the
right.
Right. So, okay. So, conceptually, I like the idea of having messages cross-platform for end-to-end encryption. Practically speaking, I'm not seeing the use case for Apple.
No, the only I think your initial response to that question is the most compelling one. Is it simply plugging the hole for the security hole that is Android for iMessage users?
Yeah,
but if they can't, if they can't do it where SMS and messaging is being integrated, it kind of seems like an uphill battle to me.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Well, we'll know come Monday, and just so everyone knows, on Monday, the keynote presentation starts at 10 a.m. Pacific time. We are not going to record daily observations until after that is done, because there will be all kinds of interesting bits of news that we need to share with you. So it makes sense to record the show after the keynote. So look for the show a little later on Monday. And also, hey, we have a sponsor, and that sponsor is Atlassian. And Atlassian is a company behind software products like Bitbucket and HipChat and Confluence and Jira. And these are all tools that let you collaborate on projects and communicate with everyone on your team, regardless of where they are, and manage all the assets that you have for whatever projects you're working on. One of the tools that I know a lot of people have heard about is Bitbucket. And this is a tool that lets you take all of the pieces of code for whatever coding project you have going on, and you can keep track of all those pieces. You can manage all of the coding assets you have. You can go in and test elements that you're working on, and it makes it easier for people that need to collaborate on a coding project to do their job and do it efficiently and do it effectively, and that's a really great thing. So what you should do is go to the Atlassian website and check out their tools, because there's probably something there, or more than one something there, that you need to do your job better. So go check it out at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. And thank you, Atlassian, for being our sponsor. Okay, so the other thing that I wanted to talk about today, and Brian, I think you especially would be excited about this because, well, you've been a Logic user for a long time. They rolled out what on its surface you would assume is a minor point update. So we have Logic 10.2.3. And the reality is, it looks like Leo Tolstoy wrote the update notes for this, because there is so much packed inside there.
I see what you did there.
Thank you.
There's just like a bunch of stuff. I counted 318 bullet points for this in the update notes. Now, counting 318 bullet points is sort of like an exercise in self-loathing and hatred. So I didn't count them again. I may have miscounted, but there's definitely more than 300 bullet points in this update, and there is just a bunch of really good stuff, including new features and changes in the way things are implemented. And of course, there's the addition of the Chinese instruments and Chinese loops that were added to GarageBand last month. But it's a big update.
And so some of the stuff that's in here, I'm curious, do you see it as like stuff that it's just a nice addition? Or are you looking at this and thinking, wow, why did it take so long to get this stuff into Logic?
Well, that's probably always going to be the case. I think Dave had an observation about a particular point, the graphical editing of crossfades.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the very first thing on the list, and I think rightly so. With Logic, when you're doing multiple takes of something, it can automatically create crossfades right at the point where you punch in. And so let's say you're recording a guitar part and you make a mistake, right? You can say, all right, well, I want to re-record just that section of my part, and you can tell it, all right, you know, record, you know, loop me through this part, just record this section. You just loop through, you play along with it. It records the new thing and you're good to go. But it leaves the old take in there just in case you want to go back to that. And then also has the new one. And you can do this over and over and over again in many places throughout even just one track. So you could have a real Frankenstein guitar part or a vocal part or really anything. In fact, it works so well, you can even do it with drums. The weird part was many other pieces of software let you take things and draw your own fades between any of these takes, controlling how it transitions between playing back, you know, the first take versus the second one and then back to the first to get that one little segment. And Logic really didn't let you do that up until now. The weird part is that they bothered to do it at all. It would always frustrate people that came to Logic from some other DAW, right? Digital Audio Workstation, that was used to it there and then couldn't do it in Logic. But you'd figure out other ways to control this stuff. And now with, again, like you said, a very seemingly minor point update, they added this and a lot of other features that sort of are, like you said, why wasn't this, if you didn't put this in before, why now? Right. And the answer is to make Logic better, to make it more comfortable for people that are used to doing this elsewhere. But, you know, it's sort of hidden in this sheep's clothing of a, you know, X.X.3 update from X.X.2. You know, it seems very minor when you look at the numbering scheme, but there's so much here. Really cool stuff too. Some of it, I mean, that, you know, that's just one example.
And the, you know, I love Logic. I love Logic. I in part, one of the reasons why I love it, it's Logic is very, very capable, but it's not locked down like all the versions of Pro Tools are, you know, Avid / Pro Tools have always seemingly been so concerned about piracy that they release versions of their software that are just a hassle to use.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I've always liked about Logic is, you know, it's very capable. There's certainly things that Pro Tools does that Logic doesn't, but Logic can go toe to toe in most ways with Pro Tools, and it's awesome, and it's accessible, right? And that's great. But I live in this constant state of fear that it's going to be apertured, or, you know, we'll go long periods of time without getting an update. And or I mean, like when the LCAP was released, there were problems with Logic for months, and and it's like, oh man, is this software going to be, you know, it's going to be apertured? Is it going to be just sort of canceled because no one at Apple really cares about it? And this update to me says that someone's caring.
Oh yeah, very clearly. I agree with that. Yeah, and we're not alone. There are a lot of people out there saying, "Thank goodness."
Yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah, even if it were just like two of the 318 things, that would have placated many people.
You mean two in particular?
What's that?
You mean two in particular, not just any random two.
Yeah, right. But if it were, well, yeah, I mean, it could have been any random two. Just an update that was like, hey, look, we're doing stuff to it would have been great. And now it's like, hey, no, we're not just doing stuff. Clearly, we've got a team of people that are working on this, which is great.
Yeah. You know,
I like Logic. It lets me mix with faders when doing things in a way that makes a lot of sense to me that you really can't do as easily in other DAWs. So I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's a quality piece of software.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and my assumption is we're going to see even more cool announcements on Monday. We've had Logic today. We had the App Store stuff yesterday or day before, and we haven't even hit Monday yet when the keynote happens. So I'm assuming that Apple has been doing this stuff ahead of time because they want to focus on other things at the keynote and potentially really wow us.
Well, and keep in mind on that note, Apple is doing what for it is a full court press with the press.
Yes.
Right. I mean, you know, like these major in-depth articles to multiple publications, the kind of thing that we don't normally see from Apple at all, let alone right before WWDC when the people that they're getting access to are really busy. And
right.
That is not only to get some to control that information, to help control that message, but to lay that some of the groundwork for WWDC. So it's this really could be a really interesting show.
I'm assuming so. And with that, we're out of time, so we need to wrap up. Dave, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Yep, great to have you. Brian, thank you for being here. It's great that you're here.
Yeah, thanks.
Well said, sir. Well said.
I don't know where that came from.
Clearly. And Atlassian, thank you for being our sponsor this week. Head over to their website, atlassian.com. That's atlassian.com. And check out their great collaboration tools, Jira, Confluence, HipChat, and Bitbucket. Listeners, don't forget, we'll be recording later on Monday after the keynote. So you just have to hold out a little bit longer. Everyone have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.